Welcome to a very special WHM On Screen, everybody. I'm Andrew Jupin alongside human soundboard Eric Siska.
I'm doing the Imperial Alarm.
Oh, you know what? I'll do you one better.
Yeah.
That guy came back in this movie. I almost stood up and applauded.
Love that dude. My favorite character.
That is Steve Sadak over there. We're talking about Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, which just came out. So we all went to the theater and saw it, and here are our thoughts about it. So, of course, spoiler, 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 if you haven't seen the movie, we're going to be talking about it left and right, up and down.
Any and all secrets will be revealed.
That's right.
We stole the secrets.
Wait, so what the hell thing were you talking about? Mouse droid?
There's a little thing in the Death Star.
It was like a little droid with wheels.
Oh yeah.
And Chewie yells at it and goes.
That's
And then it goes. It's a little RV truck.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a Roomba. That's my guess. That's always been my guess.
Definitely,
it's a Roomba.
Definitely is. It's vacuuming.
These floors are disgusting. Where is Roomba?
Roomba 5.
So this is a movie.
Roomba leader.
It's a movie that takes place in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, yeah.
That is outside of the Star Wars saga.
Is it?
Well, that's what they sold it to us as.
That's the one unfortunate thing is I think it's tied in too heavily.
Yes. Yeah. So elaborate on that, if you please.
Well... Okay, so
I mean, it's like clearly we're stealing the plans for the Death Star,
right?
I mean,
so that has to be tied into it, and that makes total sense.
Sure,
but I mean, you know, the elephants in the room, like having Leia up here, is kind of weird. I like Vader appearing, and I think Vader is great in this.
Sure,
but it's just I didn't expect it to be as prequely as it was. I expected it to be more self-contained. They steal the plans, bing, boom, bam, you out of there.
It's very prequely.
I mean, it's like the same afternoon.
Yeah.
We got out of the theater and my wife and I were saying to each other, like, we didn't think it was going to run up to A New Hope. I mean, that's the scene.
Here's my question. I mean, this might be a good way to start-ish.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to give it 1 out of 10 stars, because I mean, we all loved Force Awakens. Our Force Awakens pod.
So we'll start saying,
did you like it?
When I saw Force Awakens, I would have given it 10 stars.
Yeah,
and I still stand by that. I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
So this, I mean, I would say 6.
6. Yeah,
six. I'm at like a 5.5, 6.
That's kind of where I'm too.
It's 7.
It really
maybe
didn't
bowl
me
day.
Over. I mean, there's enough in here to like. There's tons in here to like, really. But there's a lot in here not to like. Enough to really detract from the experience, for me anyway.
There's also, I feel, too much to like to the point where I couldn't keep track of everything that I could have possibly liked.
Sure.
So I only liked the things that I was like glomming onto, knowing full well that there's so much other stuff going on that I'm just missing.
But it's not even that. I just feel like there's so much in this movie. Like, this is too many cooks. Like, you can clearly tell, like, this is a very too many cooks scenario.
I was waiting for all those shots I saw in the trailers to happen, and
like,
none of them did.
So do you recall any of those? I mean, it's been a while since I've seen the preview.
It was shown that there would be, like, a bigger beach battle. I think there was even footage of Gina Orso running with the Death Star plans on the beach.
Yeah.
There was...
Oh.
Director Krennic with the cape floating in the water, which
looked
that's
cool.
Great. And
there's
that
great
was
line
in the movie.
There's that great line of Jin, Felicity Jones, there saying, like, well, we're rebels. Let's rebel. Like,
right.
You know, that's a cool line. And I feel like her character and a lot of the main characters kind of get undercut because we have to do other stuff that I'm not crazy about.
I was very underwhelmed by all of these new characters.
Jin
Orso was fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Diego Luna, I was totally underwhelmed.
I dug him, but he didn't do anything. You know what I mean? Like, he's got that first scene where he kills that dude, and you're like, oh, cool. He's like an honest-to-goodness assassin for the rebels.
See, motherfucker definitely shoots first.
Yes, exactly. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But, and then, like, he just kind of hangs out for most of the movie.
I will say, like, I saw it once, and then I went back and saw it again, and I liked it way more.
Okay.
When I was first watching it, I just felt like I was waiting for it to get going, and then the pacing I thought felt a little weird.
Sure,
you know, maybe it was a chop job or whatever. But when I rewatched it, it did kind of click for me more, and I did like some of the new characters, like with Donnie Yen as the blind spiritualist Jedi. Yeah.
Or I guess that was my question.
I think he just worships the Force. Like he would be someone who worshipped the Jedi.
So he's not an actual
Or he
Jedi.
would have been a Jedi if he was trained, but just, you know what I mean? Like it's like
he's just a fanboy.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, he's the stand-in for me.
Yeah, he's like a Phoenix Jones type.
That was an interesting visual, and I don't know like how it relates to like the Jedi as a religion. Or whatever, but there's that one shot of like
the temple that or whatever that
what's
statue.
Clearly like a statue that's fallen and is like covered up in sand and stuff.
There is a mention, I think it was even Tarkin. We'll get to it, but mentions it as Jedha or whatever it was called as a holy city. So this is like an ancient place where Jedi were from. Sort of like the unrest there. I think they're trying to kind of compare to. Palestine or whatnot.
Yeah,
A little bit of that going on there, which is fine. I mean, like, that's the weird thing is this movie does do some sort of political stuff. I do like in that first scene with, I think his name is Cassian, is Diego Luna's character?
Yeah, Captain Cassian Andor.
Where he kills that dude, but there is this cool scene where the stormtroopers are asking for papers, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, totally. Those dudes are getting like hassled in the alleyway or
whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that's what I wanted this movie to be. A little more, let's really explore what the actual reign of the Empire looked like in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, what was it like to live during this time?
Exactly. Like, and you don't get that in the prequels because the prequels lead up to the Empire and they're terrible. And you don't get that in Star Wars because it's all about the fall of it. You know what I mean? I kind of like that middle ground there.
Yeah, and I think they do try to show the oppression. Bit, yeah. And what I really do like about this movie is this feels like cracking open an EU novel.
Yeah.
This is like, oh, there's this cool dude that's like tough as nails. He's part of this band of like rebel intelligence, and they're doing all this crazy shit. And Krennic, who I actually thought was great.
Ben Mendelsohn's
great. Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. Like him. Yeah, he's great.
I love that he's like you've gotten so many of these Imperials that are like, you know, these tough bad guys, but this is just like a weak man trying to get into that role, trying to move up the ranks and not being successful, which is something different.
There's the great moment where he's talking to Vader and he's like, you can tell he wants to be like a company man because he's like, oh, will you definitely tell the Emperor that you feel that way or whatever? Then he just gets fucking choked out, which is nice.
And you know, people are upset about the pun because he's like, don't choke on your ambitions, counselor, whatever the hell he says.
Yeah, aspirations.
But Vader's always been a punny bitch. Don't even, that dude never walked away from a pun in the original trilogy.
No, totally. He can't help himself. It's just, if it's there, he's going to sniff it out, man.
Oh, he goes back to his manservant. I really knocked that one out of the park.
Did you hear it? Did you?
We love
it. Let me tell you. Okay, so Krennic came up. And he was all like, I'm still in charge. And I choked him. And it was funny.
House, by the way, that's pretty cool.
I love
cool.
it.
That
love
was
it.
Awesome. And I was totally digging like his fucking hot tub or whatever.
It's called a Bacta tank.
I saw you saying that on Twitter. I was like, there's no tanks in that
It's
movie.
A back-to-tank, baby. Luke's in one at the start of Empire.
Do you think he's got, like, that? He gets audiobooks like in there and, music?
Oh, yeah, podcasts?
Yeah, does he have Sonos inside there or what?
I keep listening to that show where those fat idiots talk about bad movies.
They're okay. I like Marc Maron very much, though. Did you know that he had Gillian Anderson on?
Did he really have Gillian Anderson on WTF?
I don't know.
I'm very glad that he and all of those comedians repaired their beef outside of the comedy store. Except for that one ill-fated meeting he had with that washed-up Gallagher. No, there's no saving Gallagher from the dark side of comedy.
I've often told the Emperor I'm more of a Gallagher too, man.
So, Eric, my question to you is his house... Because one thing this movie does castle. That doesn't do... Oh, it's castle. You're right, it's a castle. Is it on the Mustafar or whatever planet it is, the lava planet, where he gets all fucked up?
Yes.
That's a weird place to buy real estate, man.
It's like building a house on the fucking cemetery, man. What are you doing?
It makes sense, because You know, you're a Dark Lord of the Sith, and and that's where, you know, all this bad shit happened to you.
Sure.
And if you want it, you know, you want to get the dark side juices flowing. You look up at that view at that that sandy lava beach, and you're getting pissed off every morning.
That's like me building a house in right next to my high school, man. Like, no way, I'm getting as far away as possible.
Well, if you could be as powerful as Darth Vader, if you lived next door to your old high school, would you do it?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Of course you would.
That's cool. I didn't like in the beginning we're doing titles for planets, which we've never done in Star Wars. It bugged me. And we stop doing it, actually, which is weird, because we don't get a title card for Darth Vader's house, or we don't get a title card for the last planet as well. It's weird.
Right. You know, honestly, I kind of didn't notice.
Really?
Okay, I noticed I was reading stuff, but I didn't really think about it in the grand scheme of Star
Wars.
They
don't do the last planet because they do it earlier in the movie because we've been there before.
The beach planet, I don't think so.
Don't we go to that?
Wait, Scarif? Or you're talking about Mustafar, the lava? Wait, what do you?
No. The planet where the battle happens at the end.
No, I don't. That's a new one.
No.
Yeah.
All right. We do Jada Pinkett Smith's planet. We do. I like this movie. I liked
the thing I will say about the titles, though. It's I noticed it too, and I think the thing that it sort of helps out is with the expository dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's no, like, not that there's no, but there's less of, you have to go to this planet, it's there, and do that thing.
Yes,
and
yes.
It just, like, you show up, and it's like, whatever the fuck, this is where, you know, the rebel headquarters is.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. I read it. It took half a second.
I agree with that. And plus, it in the beginning is very top heavy with, like, everyone's on different planets, so it has to kind of make sense.
I was getting really lost.
I was saying it earlier. I mean, I might bump this up to a 7 out of 10. Or 7.
Right now?
7.5.
I'm doing
it right now. Because the thing is, when I first saw it, I was so like, where does this fall in the world of Star Wars? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of, my mind is being bogged down because I'm a fucking loser and I'm analyzing every random thing.
Sure.
And I feel like that's why it felt so stilted, and maybe that I didn't. I feel like the second time I saw it, it clicked a lot more for me.
I could see that being the case.
It felt a lot faster. Like, I was like, oh shit, we're already doing the last battle.
But there are, to me anyway, some glaring stuff that I'm not going to let go of. One of which being, I kind of not crazy about Forrest Whitaker in this movie. I don't know what his character does.
Saw Gerrera. Sounds a lot like Che Guevara.
It does, and that's a cool concept, and he's good in this movie.
I agree with you. There's a problem.
There's so much
here
in the cutting room floor, you can tell.
He's supposed to be a rebel splinter cell leader, an extremist group.
Which is cool.
Which is great, but what they should have done to drive it home more, because Saw Gerrera's group attacks the Imperials on patrol, and that's how they're shown as being extremist. And I guess they're extreme because part of the Rebel Alliance is still trying diplomacy within the Imperial Senate. But I want them to just fucking blow up a marketplace full of people.
Yeah.
Like, do they're civilians, but maybe they're collaborators. Or he extremists will rationalize the death of civilians, and it would have been great.
Well, that's the thing. He's categorized as being an extremist.
Yeah.
By whoever calls him that.
The Rebel Alliance, I think, even like, says that. Mon
Mothma? Oh, she says it? Or
yeah,
I think so. Jin maybe said it. But, like, whatever. What he's doing, like, it's not that extreme.
Exactly.
He's kind of just doing what the Rebel Alliance is doing in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, in New Hope. Like,
right. But they haven't, I guess the idea is they haven't really started fighting yet until this movie.
He's also got a silly snake that makes you crazy, and it's like, all right. All right. I don't need Riz Ahmed in this movie, and I like Riz Ahmed, and I think he's good, but I think you do need to whittle this cast down and, like, literally cut him out. And
it's a little heavy, the cast.
Put him somewhere else, because also we just saw an Imperial officer flip, you know what I mean, in Force Awakens. And actually, to me, it kind of lessens Finn a little bit, because when it happens in Force Awakens, like, oh, cool, I've never even thought about an Imperial officer flipping, and now it happens again in this movie, and you're like, oh, all right.
And I mean, you know, this is probably me being into the EU, but that's, like, a very common trope in that, you know, when you're reading
defectors
all these books.
Yeah, sure.
They do all these different things.
Here's the problem with Forrest Whitaker is that he needs to be in the rest of the movie.
Yes.
He's killed off very early on, and I think it's got a lot to do with those fucking fake feet he's got. Why does he have two robot feet? And you want one fake leg, fine. See, I'm looking at this thing. It's like a fucking Energizer Bunny feet going back. It's really stupid.
This is, I think, this is probably the first Star Wars movie to do flashbacks. Show me how he got those robot feet. Show like he's wiring a bomb that goes off.
Sure.
Or maybe like he's going to blow up a marketplace, which I want to see. Okay. I
You're
see
very
this.
Into
I'm
that
very
idea.
Into this idea.
You can have.
You just want to see some ball sack alien scream for its life.
I just want to see if Star Wars really wants to push the war angle.
Yeah.
Give me the Battle of Algiers.
Yeah. This is how you can do it too. You have someone be like, hey, Jyn Erso, how do you know Forrest Whitaker? Flashback scene, it's like fucking Leon, right?
Yeah.
And he's training her.
I like this idea.
To do, you know, so it's like the little girl character, like he's just rescued her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now this is what you have to do. And like, walk into this marketplace where all these fucking Balchinians are walking around.
And they do allude to that. You know, that's her beef is like, you left me on this planet because blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, what was that mission where she got burned?
And it's just, it's just dialogue. And the problem is, this isn't a trilogy. We're never going to know what that is. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just kind of a dropped line. There's so, and the other problem is we aside from just overpacking this with characters, all mostly good. I actually don't think there's a bad performance in this movie at all. I really don't.
No, there's just too many. not a
focus.
There's not enough room, so like they're all short change.
But we're also the elephant in the room is we're packing this movie with fucking the ghost of Peter Cushing. Which is just a huge...
I have no problem with that.
Really?
And I don't know why, because I don't like stuff like this.
He took the Polar Express to the Uncanny Valley walked right out and started doing his lines.
And here's the thing, though. You said that, but amazingly... So I got out of the movie. You had seen it before. You both saw it before me. I got out of the movie. We were texting. Yeah. You said the Polar Express thing, right?
Yeah.
Cut to me in a Barnes & Noble. I'm flipping through a book. I look over into the DVD section. I'm like, what is this shit-ass, like, cheap fucking video game movie they have on there? Polar Express. Dude, that movie looks so much worse than you remember it.
I'm sure it does.
This Peter Cushing looks like a fucking masterpiece compared to that
He's a cutscene from a PlayStation game, man. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't need real characters to interact with him.
I kind of don't. I think it's one of the bigger problems of the movie, for sure. I feel like, why didn't they just recast? You've announced you're recasting Han Solo. I can handle someone else being recast, who was also recast and played by another actor in Revenge of the Sith, although it was very brief and I don't think he even had any lines. But get a dude that kind of looks like him and I'll suspend disbelief.
It's the hubris, because you could have written around this a million ways. You could have recast. You could have just him not in the movie.
Like, I think just...
You could do the one-sided Three's Company phone call. Oh, what's that, Chrissy? You're not in this episode?
No way are fucking fans letting you get away with that one.
I would have been fine with
Cut
that.
Tarkin.
Hello, Darth Vader.
we have Vader in this movie.
It's enough.
It's kind of I say amp up the Vader.
Yeah, sure.
His awesome ending in this movie would have made more sense if he was in the movie more.
Yes.
There's not enough Vader.
There's just a lot of Peter Cushing and like this guy just doing his voice, and like it doesn't add anything. It actually takes away from Ben Mendelsohn's character. You know what I mean? Again, like you're just not using this right, and it's just
the other side of it, though. Unfortunately, I feel like if there was a ton of Vader, I feel like we'd be sitting here like, and what the fuck with all the Darth Vader in this movie?
I'm on the fence on the Vader. I'm okay with it, but like the last scene kind
I'm all in, baby.
It's awesome.
It's cool. But like, it's
well.
Not,
see, here's
wait. Do you prefer when he was a little kid?
Yeah, I love when he's a little kid. It's just this weird thing where like, literally 20 seconds later, you know, because I watched A New Hope today just because I stayed home sick. And that's what you do when you stay home sick. You watch Star Wars.
That's
I guess,
sure.
Get some cocoa going.
That's code for drugs.
Like, he's just absolutely savagely massacred these people really quickly. And then in the next movie, he's doesn't do that at all. And, you know, for three movies. You know what I mean? It's a little bit off for me. It's super cool. Most of my nerd body is like, yeah, he's doing it, because it is so cool. But yeah, it is. But the also, is, the movie the ended 5 minutes ago.
Darth Vader is supposed to be this evil legend that did shit like that.
Yeah,
and, you know, maybe. And in the original trilogy, I know he's not shown massacring people, but we did. It's something we were cheated out of with the prequels, and we had to. Yeah. Make, I don't agree with it happening instantaneously before Hope happens.
Yes,
but I'm glad we got it in some way. And by the way, the Vader comic book by Marvel, which is great, is if you like that, that's all it is basically.
Just him fucking slaughtering lambs left and right.
Yep.
It's him as Freddy Krueger, basically.
Yeah, oh, right. No, a bunch of young men cut down in their prime. Go to sleep and I will enter your dreams.
Oh, I'd like that.
Fucking James Earl Jones could fucking enter my dreams any fucking day he wants.
He's James entered Earl's mine before.
He's getting a little old. We need to get, if we're doing a Vader movie, we got to do it. It's a I little agree. Shaky.
I agree. Do the Vader
well,
movie.
Hello there.
It's a little bit.
And I, now you're doing a fucking Ozzie Davis impression. It's good. I remember Vader.
It's close enough, man.
Let me tell you though, I'm not worried, and I'll tell you why. I used to have Darth Vader on a GPS. James Earl wasn't doing that. We've got synthesizers now, yeah. Man. We can make a Vader.
Well, if we could make a fucking Peter Cushing, I guess we could do it next.
You know what? He should have been a hologram.
Yes, Peter Cushing. Yeah, exactly. He's on another planet.
Hide it a little.
Exactly. That's
fine. A good call.
Because it's just, I don't want Alec Guinness showing up in this fucking Han Solo movie fucking vacuuming a floor. You know, it's just like, we got to tell Disney this
trust
shit is
in
not
the
okay.
Force. And the Dustbuster.
Oh, maybe hello, a nice Diet Coke. Delicious.
Maybe he's doing an ad for that Roomba droid.
Oh, hello, Nuprin, little, yellow, different.
He's just like, you know what, man? Like, let these dead people be dead. And just,
yeah, that's,
it's really enough with the dead people.
I don't know why it didn't bother me, because, again, I say, I hate that shit. I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's better than, you know, Tony Soprano's mother.
Who asked you? You know, another thing, cut Leia out of the end.
That's kind of like Tarkin, actually, when he's calling for the Death Star to strike Scarif.
It's very similar. But the Leia scenes bugs me also. And
I agree.
I think that just get more fucking Jimmy Smits. Jimmy Smits is right there. And he has that scene where he's like, I'll get somebody that means a lot to me on it. It's my daughter, Leia. And everyone's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's
all you need. That's all you need. That's right. All you need.
Or you know what? You could just show a woman in the white dress.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm not a moron. And if I'm watching Rogue One, I've seen A New Hope 1,000 times.
But that, dude, that way, you're damned there, because that's fucking George Steinbrenner on Seinfeld. You know what I mean? Like, if it was just like some woman with bun hair in a white
I've never wanted George Steinbrenner from Seinfeld to be an Imperial officer before, but now I want it so much. Just him from the back.
Oh, and get Jason Alexander as like some middle manager admiral coming in. Yeah.
You wanted to see me, Lord Steinbrenner?
Yes, come in, George.
These calzones on Scarif.
But I mean, like,
Cadets Costanza's in the building.
George is getting upset. They're
my calzone from Paisanos.
The action is great. Yes.
The space battles, I thought, were awesome.
Space battles
were
very cool.
Star Destroyers crash into each
other. Holy fuck,
absolutely.
That was cool.
Fucking
absolutely.
Loved it. And I do not mind, I know this was a point of contention with some people on the internet as well, I do not mind using alternate takes of actors from Star Wars with the Death Star run.
I love Red Leader Show. And
right?
That
isn't
was
that
cool.
Great?
That was cool. That's where I'm like, that's actually cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And I'm sure that guy's
dead.
You
know, it's not their first rodeo with these people.
And it's also 30 seconds. He's not a character. It's just like, oh, and of course Red Leader would be there. It would be great if, like, the whole mission's going as shit. And it's like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And mm-hmm. It's like, oh, my God, we'll have to get the best fighter in the galaxy on this. Get me Porkins!
Dude,
we do get a fat guy dying in this movie that is a tribute to Porkins.
I really had my fucking pudgy little fingers crossed that there was a William Hootkins stand-in, man. And then, Porkins, get over here!
Oh, it would have been great.
I will say my one... It's not even a beef. It's just a random thought. With the whole planetary shield plot line, I thought of Spaceballs. I thought of Spaceballs.
You don't want to think about Spaceballs in a Star Wars movie.
Because that was all about the planetary shield and speaking of vacuums.
Princess Vespa. Yeah, I like that scene. I mean, I do like that whole thing. I like the scene in the rain, which was really neat. I thought that was really well done.
So, Mads Mikkelsen, I thought was good. I like the idea of the scientists that are not going along with it. It sounds very, you know, World War II-ish.
Question. Great year for Mads Mikkelsen, the Disney Corporation. Does he get a lifetime pass?
For what?
For this and Doctor Strange.
As a pass to what?
To Disney World, man. Like, can he go anytime he wants?
I think he can.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That's good.
But guess what? He won't. He goes to rich people, Disney World. They don't tell you about it.
I go and I ride the teacups. When it's free, you can just go and ride one ride and leave. It's really refreshing.
That Pirates of the Caribbean ride is so annoying. I'm glad they got rid of it. Was anyone going to that zoo they had? You know, they put a dinosaur in there. It was such a waste of time.
Actually, Animal Kingdom, you can really get a good steak. It's the only place in all the parks get a really good steak. Animal Kingdom.
Kill it right in front of you.
Yeah, I wanted way more of him, dude. He's awesome. I love Mads Mikkelsen.
It's an interesting character, too. You know what I mean? Like, and the movie could and should be about Jin and her dad. Like, that's kind of what we're doing.
If they pared it down, like, if it was Jin, her dad, Cassian Andor, and K2, the droid. The droid was great.
Oh, yeah. Alan Tudyk is the droid, man. He's awesome. So fucking funny.
And you could keep the Donnie Yen and his boyfriend there. Those guys are great. I mean, they love each other, right? Like, let's not fuck around.
That's what I was saying before we went on the air, man. I think it was a Star Wars gay couple. I thought it was awesome.
It was. No, I don't say that denigratingly. I honestly think
the dude with the vacuum cleaner on his back he's fucking heartbroken when that blind guy gets killed.
It's not. I wouldn't be that upset when you went, man. Like, you know what I mean? Well, unless we were getting down to some fucking.
No, I totally.
Then
agree.
I'll shed a tear.
Oh boy, you guys. No, well, the thing is, like, you know, if they're gay or not, I do like their characters.
I do too.
I'm glad they were included. Maybe they were weeping over the fact that there'll be no other Asian representation in Star Wars after they both die.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? We had it. We beat those fucking cartoon viceroys. We finally got over that fucking hurdle. Oh, we're both dead.
Yeah, I mean, no one in this room is upset about the diverse cast. You know what I mean?
Not like, at all.
I'm upset that the diversity extends beyond the grave. But other than that, I think I'm pretty okay.
I could have used blood. I know. I there's a huge body count. There's no blood. Force Awakens had blood.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, like, I don't understand that decision.
I would like to keep it PG-13, I think.
It was weird going back, though, because, like, you get Force Awakens and you're like, holy fuck, like, that stormtrooper blood on the helmet, man, that's pretty cool. And then you're in this, which is like a legitimate war movie.
Yes.
You know, it's the Dirty Dozen, it's Magnificent Seven, it's all that shit, and it's just like, oh, so it's not, I mean, I'm not expecting fucking Saving Private Ryan, but like, give me something.
Yeah.
Give me some sort of
I would
gore.
Like that. I do think, I really like the ending there with Cassian and Jin, even though I don't know them very well, them dying on the beach with
I'm very happy that everyone dies.
I love that everybody dies.
More so than any other Star Wars movie, we really do put a fine point on the Death Star's nuclear proliferation because we see like mushroom clouds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's really kind of striking and kind of cool.
Yeah, I love that you get to see like the awesome power of the Death Star. That's really cool. And yeah, going back to the death thing, like, I think it's awesome that this entire cast is dead.
Yes.
Because it's one of the things we were talking about, Steve, me and you, before the movie came out, was like, we were talking about whether or not, like, how integrated into the newer part of the saga this would be.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think you're going to see any of these characters because they'd have to be, like, 40 years older and blah, blah, blah. And Steve was like, you know, who knows what they would do with episode 9 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's awesome that it's definitively, like, all of these people are fucking. And they're not just dead, like, but you didn't see them die. Like, no. Fucking planets exploded, man. Forrest Whitaker, that dude's dead. Mads Mikkelsen, that whole side of the mountain blew up. Yep. I mean, these people are fucking toast.
What do we think of the robot? K2, what's his face? Alan Tudyk.
He's
great.
It, yeah.
I like him too. I'm a big fan. I think he's
great. We already mentioned it. That's why Eric and I are confused.
Oh, did we talk about this?
Yeah, briefly. Yeah. But yeah, we can go back and do it.
No, no, it's good.
He's great. No, I like that. That's like a good moment for a non-annoying droid comedy.
It's levity.
I'm looking at you, 3PO cameo.
Oh, man.
And R2 just standing there.
Yeah, didn't need the cameo. I know a lot of people hate 3PO. I don't.
My wife hates 3PO. I love how much she hates her. It's great.
The cameo I really don't need is fucking Mr. Ponda Baba and what's his and his friend there.
Dr. Nivian. I can't remember.
Pig nose and ball sack mouth from the cantina scene.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
They're like, hey, I'm in a bad mood now. I better go to a Mos Eisley spaceport and get a drink. Oh, wait, that's happening in a couple of minutes. See you later, movie. Goodbye. Oh, and you can know you keep doing the movie. I just wanted to say hello real quick.
I'm going to that movie that you already saw. Figure that out. Time's a flat circle.
It is distracting. And when I first saw it, it like hit me like I was like thunderstruck. It felt like that scene took 5 minutes.
It really did. It does take a lot of time.
I was just like, whoa, what? And then when I rewatched it, it's really quick.
It is.
So thankfully there's that. But I do feel like if you're going to do a cameo for anyone in that sequence, do something else.
Maybe werewolf guy is part of Rogue One. Like he's the one guy that gets out alive.
Yeah,
a werewolf guy would have been an asset on that.
Of course, he would have.
You know, I'm like usually I'm against including Gleepclops and things like, but a werewolf guy, yes.
One werewolf guy.
I know we're saying we need to thin the cast of this movie, but if werewolves are involved, up it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have, you know, I can have up to maybe like 6 additional werewolves. I'd be totally okay with that.
Yeah, like Jyn Erso could just be like, and werewolf guys, you have the beach. Yeah. And then they're just like, it's like a dog in water.
I love that.
Just eating fucking stormtroopers.
The beach scenes were cool for sure. I mean, I really do think that all the actions are really great.
It's great. What is weird, and I guess I didn't necessarily have a problem with it, but like the end bit is her readjusting a satellite. I mean, it's like the end of Goldeneye.
Yeah.
Like she's realigning the satellite. There's a fight up there.
Both me and my professional librarian fiance really like the Tower of Records, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool way to store information.
Well, you know what? That's also in the grand tradition of long places you can fall down in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, of course. You need some platforms in there, man.
I do think that like the whole like doing the antenna and the master switch, I thought it was in line with Star Wars if you think about Ben Kenobi sneaking around, pulling down levers.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they call those levers.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. He'll come back from the dead and sell me a vacuum. And then tell me how to pronounce it.
You know what's interesting is what I realized, I didn't think of it until it happened, the fact that this is a Star Wars movie where you get one lightsaber, and it's in the last 10 minutes.
Sure.
And you, like, I guess I hadn't even thought about it. And then when Vader whips out that lightsaber, I was like, oh, yeah, lightsabers. Yes. Like, cool. It was this really, like, cool moment of, like, oh, yeah, no one else has had one. Good deal.
I love that. It's very, I like how it's filmed like a horror scene a little bit. He's Jason Voorhees.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely is.
It's kind of cool.
It's great. God damn it. I mean, I understand people's problems with it, but
he whips that dude up onto the ceiling like super fast.
And if you notice, I didn't notice this the first time, but when he's walking down the hall away from the guy on the ceiling, he cuts him like in half on his way, walk out.
Oh, does he?
Yeah,
oh,
there's a cool gif of that going around the internet. Yeah, that's what you want.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I've been on like social media blackout for Star Wars until I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, like it's a strong-ish entry. It's I think it's number 5 for me. I'm not counting cartoon movies. I'm not counting Ewoks, but it's better than all those anyway.
Oh, sure.
But it's like, you know, original trilogy. Then you got Force Awakens, and you got this, and then
that's
you got
exactly
the prequels.
My rating too.
Sure, yeah, and that's fine.
That's where it falls in. And the thing is, it's like,
I mean, there's a lot of room and there's a lot of cushion in those prequels. You know what I mean? Like, you could make a pretty bad movie to fit right after Revenge of the Sith.
I mean, we watched Revenge of the Sith the night before we saw this just to, like,
oh, no,
to temper our expectations. No, because my wife had a great point.
Smart.
She was like, don't, because I was like, you know what I want to do tonight? I want to watch some fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, sure.
And so she's like making the great point. You can't watch original trilogy or Force Awakens, which are four movies I really like.
Sure.
And then it's, you know, because this movie's not going to live up to that.
Sure.
So we watched what is the best prequel, and my expectations were tempered a little bit.
And, you know, it's, I feel like with these standalones, it's okay if they don't live up to the original trilogy, because that's not the intent.
No.
So, and I, you know, again, I know the movie has certain critics, namely Chris Cabin.
Oh.
If we want to, I think he prepared a statement.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't be here this evening.
He's in hiding, actually, yeah. Unfortunately.
But he's got something here. So, yeah, Chris Cabin could not be here, but this is his thought. We had to reach into the mailbag for this. Rogue One Statement by Chris Cabin. Dear listeners. One of my fat proxies will deliver these brief statements about Rogue One, no doubt with the class and grace of a cartoon hippo ballerina. I don't have much to say. I think Rogue One is the very definition of mediocre. Promising ideas, some genuine risks taken, a few excellent sequences and exchanges, and a lot of great design work from top to bottom. For the most part, however, the script is hot garbage. I didn't feel like I got to know any of the characters that well, and then to turn them into martyrs for the effort of showing a realistic depiction of war and sacrifice, it smacks me as cheap and manipulative. My belief is that Gareth Edwards made a unique, stark Star Wars movie that was indeed a standalone movie, and that Disney simply would not have a Star Wars movie that doesn't constantly remind you that it's a Star Wars movie, and thus called Tony Gilroy in to reshoot about half of the movie. Tarkin, Leia, the unused fighter footage, and all the other cameos, all of it is useless and genuinely crippling to the pace. Even Vader, other than seeing him in action, he does not serve a purpose in the story to me. On the whole, the movie is far more overtly nostalgic than Force Awakens ever was, and I don't think you can really call it a standalone movie unless standalone simply means that there won't be an obvious sequel and that's it. If so, sure, it's a standalone movie. And a not particularly good one either. I plan on seeing it again, but at this point, this hovers in the same space as Revenge of the Sith. Wow. Take that as you will. Wow. Chris Cabin.
Well, did he say that was brief?
But wow, yeah. So Chris Cabin is rating it, I guess, equal to Revenge of the Sith, which I think is just bonkers.
I do think that he's right on the design work for sure. That is something. The design work is great.
Here's my problem. I mean, design work, yes. Somebody turn on a fucking light in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just dark for the sake of being like dark and gritty. And like, I'm sorry. Get one of the famous Star Wars lamps lit. I mean, there's so much of this movie that you just can't see.
Well, we're right at the end of the Empire, man. The lamp situation is dire.
That's right. That's what the fight's all about.
But just try to keep the lights on.
I think when we get the Han Solo movie, we'll have a bunch of sexy casino lighting and things like that.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know. It doesn't make me super excited for the Han Solo movie.
I agree with you there. I'm not as excited about the standalones as I was before this. But I still had fun at the movies.
I did too.
And you know, we'll see what the future holds.
I think. I'm still excited for that Han Solo movie because the kid, Arden Ehrenreich or whatever the Christ that dude's name is, he's in the most recent Coen Brothers movie for a hot second, and he stars in that fucking wretched Warren Beatty movie.
That movie looks boring.
Did you see
sand.
It? Did you see it?
Yeah, dude, I saw it.
Oh, man, is it bad?
It's fucking terrible. Oh, that movie's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for everyone involved.
Wow, okay.
It's fucking horrible.
We should do an on-screen on that one.
No! But he's still...
Oh, how is Peter Cushing in that? Is he okay? I do like that Peter Cushing is getting more work.
You're making a joke, but seriously, there was a CGI human in that movie, Warren Beatty.
Oh, yeah, he died 20 years ago.
Yeah, he's been dead for years, right? No one's ever seen him.
Leo did a much better Howard Hughes than what you're fucking seeing.
The Aviator's a great movie. That's a great hangover. That's one of my number one hangover movies.
That's like when you may have died a little bit the night before. Like you died for a second and came back. That kind of a hangover. That's when you put on The Aviator on TV. You better believe it.
It's a good New Year's Day movie, man. Like, oh man, what a fucking I had champagne and whiskey. Let's watch this whole fucking trial.
So if you have a hangover, watch The Aviator. If you liked Rogue One, I do have a couple of EU recommendations.
Oh, please. Go right ahead.
Well, I mean, actually, I I was gonna.
These
say,
are comics or these are novels.
I'm gonna do a. I'm gonna do.
Oh, very
do
couple different mediums.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
So, watercolors as well.
Marvel's Darth Vader line is very good. If you like the Vader kicking ass. Lost Stars by Claudia Gray, even though it's labeled as a YA novel, it's about rebels and Imperials only, basically. So,
oh, nice.
It's a nice change of pace. And then, of course, I have to say the Thrawn trilogy by contractual obligation to the devil and the Lord in heaven.
The devil and the Lord in heaven.
I mean, you got, you know, the Thrawn trilogy, man.
They're big EU fans. God
they
the
are.
Devil,
oh,
huh?
They are. Yeah, they're constantly at war between the devil likes the prequels.
What's Timothy Zahn's situation? Like, can he like cameo in one of these movies? Like, can they give him some money at all? Like,
they are giving him money.
That's good.
There's a new because all of Timothy Zahn's books, like the Thrawn trilogy.
Oh, I was about to say, who are you talking about?
I'm trying to explain.
Pardon me, but who are you talking about?
The Grand Admiral Thrawn was his creation.
He's actually the big blue guy?
As Grand Admiral. Funny enough, that book, Heir to the Empire, is where Coruscant was invented. And then it was retroed in for the special edition.
Oh.
So they owe him a lot.
And Star Wars Monopoly.
Yes, and Star Wars Monopoly. And Star Wars The McDonald's Game.
Welcome back to Star Wars The McDonald's Game. I am the ghost of Alec Guinness.
Yeah, he's in the founder.
Grimace has stolen all my space bucks. Please go to the end of this maze to find them.
This is not the Hamburglar you're looking for.
Anyway.
Oh, you'll be supersizing your ambitions.
They brought back Grand Admiral Thrawn for Star Wars Rebels, which is surprisingly a pretty good show.
Oh, the cartoon. You know what? Yes. They make that so hard for you to fucking find, goddamn Disney, dude.
Yeah, I know. It is a terror to find. And then they are doing a new, Timothy Zahn is doing a new quote-unquote canon novel on Thrawn.
Oh, cool.
That's supposed to be out in March. So I'm excited for that.
Cool.
And that's it.
That's it. That's our Rogue One wrap-up, gang. You asked for it. We gave it to you. Until the next time, this has been WHM on the screen. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
Alec Guinness.
Take it easy.